¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. That's episode 1486. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me on this episode of the GTR, we have Peter Toledo. What's up, Pete?
What's up, dude?
How's everything on the other side of the world, man?
It's cold. Go Broncos. Let's ride. Won last night. Just getting ready. I have one more day here, and then I'm actually off to your neck of the woods. So,
ooh, that's going
to
be – yo, we
– off to L.A. Looking forward to seeing you, seeing obviously Paris, of course, seeing Rihanna, and first time seeing Violet.
Oh, yeah. You never met Violet in person. You know what? That was something I was thinking about because Ryu was asking, yo, when was the last time you guys got together? I'm like, that has to be –
like,
no, this,
like just
even.
Me and you, the wedding. Before the wedding. That, E3, the
2019 E3. That's the last time we were all together in person.
Now Voltron formed. The last time Voltron had formed, you want to say the Power Rangers, right? Because now we've got a new Ranger within the team.
Yeah.
2 new Rangers on the team, I guess. Apparently,
yeah. No, but it's gonna be cool. Get everybody, you know. I can't wait for you to meet Violet. Violet's guy so big.
I know. I know. All I see are pictures of birthdays and vacations whatnot. And I haven't seen my brothers in 6 years.
6 years? Yo, I can't.
More, almost 6.5 years. I haven't seen you guys.
Yeah.
In a group. Obviously, I saw you and Rihanna like 2 years ago.
No, it was no, 3 years ago.
3 years ago for your wedding.
Mm-hmm. That was the last time. Mandy was there.
Shout out to Lady Luck.
It was cool. Yeah, it was complicated getting everybody together at that wedding. It was still pandemic days, you know? So
I don't know. Here
in the States. I think you guys were okay. You remember that at that time, that was that was like a new Delta that just popped up a couple months before. Like it was just like it was a whole huge mess over here, bro.
Me, that was right around my heavy travel time, so I was going I had just come back from I don't know. I was as
yeah, you always
to say my world tour.
Yeah, you're always on the world tour. Always something, man. Always something. So we have a couple of topics over here. I don't know. The past couple of weeks, it's like this. Always like the beginning of the year, news is kind of slow. And I've been noticing that people have been like really digging for something. I'm like, yo, come on. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's people trying way too hard for news. I'm like, really? You need to. Too much sometimes. But I'll tell you this. I know last week we had a conversation about the Division 3. And I think that was like a great topic last week about the Division 3. You know, we're huge fans. Shout out to the team over there at Massive. But, yeah, I heard a couple of things. There were some layoffs a couple of days ago, too. And I'm like, and it's the team that worked on Avatar and also – the team, some people have been working on, I think, the Division, also the new Division game, which sucks. But for those who don't know, the Division boss, Julian, announced that he's going to EA Battlefield, joining the team at DICE. EA DICE.
Actually, he's leaving to run Battlefield Studios, which is not just DICE, but DICE.
Oh, so is it? Okay.
So he's going to be running Battlefield Studios in general. And when you come to think about it, mm-hmm. Julian Garrity isn't just the lead at Massive, right? He's spent 27 years at Ubisoft, right?
That's a long time. That's a very long time.
To go from marketing and brand and then taking lead roles at Massive when Ubisoft acquired them in 2014 in anticipation of the launch of the first Division, mm-hmm. You know, he's been on that. He's been on the crew in other games. That's a massive legacy that he leaves behind in Stockholm and Malmo, right, with the at Massive Entertainment. Mm-hmm. For him to leave, there's a lot of things in the background that you have to unpack when you think about this, especially mm-hmm. from a business or an enterprise perspective. How long was something like this in the works and why, right? Yes, the closure of Halifax Studio back in December from mm-hmm. the union dispute that they had, which was, you know, they all unionized and they closed the studio. Now it's a layoff. They're doing a massive restructuring. They had a layoff of 55 employees last week across both Stockholm Studios and Massive. And I'm curious, and this is the hard one. This is the hard one. This is the hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. Did this have anything to do with passing of Vince Zampella last month on the 21st?
No, right? I don't think so. I think I'll tell you this. I think the timing is kind of strange too, because I think this was planned a while ago. Mm-hmm. I think this was planned a little while ago too, man, because just the timing of the layoffs and this announcement. I think he probably knew. This is just me guessing. I'm not saying.
So here's my theory. And again, we don't know this. Yes, we know Julian. We've known Julian for years. We've worked with him on various, on various episodes and interviews and visits, etc. But someone in a lead position like this mm-hmm. usually has a minimum 2 to 3 month exit clause in their contract, mm-hmm. and this is traditionally there to protect the employer. Because it gives the business a chance to find a replacement. You've got, you know, whether that replacement is an internal candidate or an external candidate, you've got to determine a transition plan. You've got to do training. You've got to coach that person up to be able to lead the program. Do they know what to do to lead that? In a case like this, you'd usually see some kind of a non-disclosure or a non-compete clause. Protecting Ubisoft or Massive or both from working with a competitor to protect their IP, especially someone of Julian's position and tenure, right? He's going to know a lot of things over what's, you know, not just what's about to launch with the new stuff that's coming out, but future stuff. Stuff that was related to Snowdrop, their engine that could be used at this point now to go back and feed the DICE engine. Mm-hmm. Unless this has something to do with the volunteer leave program that Ubisoft launched at the beginning of the year, that was offered to employees as part of the restructuring thing, right?
Of this year or last year?
No, it was beginning of this year.
Oh, this year, okay.
Because remember, they had the Halifax, they had the restructuring. Mm-hmm. And then as part of that restructuring that they did at the beginning of the year, they offered a volunteer leave program that gave people an opportunity to leave without penalty to be able to, I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think they were able to use that to leave, not lose their vested investment into 401k and things like that. Mm-hmm. This could, and this is why I think there was more to it than just, and I mean, dude, we're just at the beginning of the year, right? We're still in January. Again, I go back to that 2 to 3 month clause. Typically with European employment contracts, the longer your tenure with the company, the longer your exit clause or your exit period can be. It's a factor of multiple things. It's not just how long you've been with the company, but your position in the business, how much information. Someone like Julian would have probably a 6 to 12 month exit clause. So I'm mm-hmm. I'm speculating. I have no clue whatsoever what's going on there. I think this has been going on for a good 9 to 12 months, simply because of what he knows with regards to anything and everything going on at Massive. It is It's a third-person shooter, but it's still something in the shooter space. Something mm-hmm. that we know EA is working on, you know, or has worked on, whether we're looking at the failed attempts of titles like Anthem, etc. Those are all things that his knowledge of what's going on at Massive could be fed into a current, an existing, a future or past IP that EA is now working on. So again, with Vince running that whole section, I think what was happening is that they were carving out a space for Julian to build out bigger, better Battlefield Studios IPs mm-hmm. so that Vince could focus on the key things, right? We know Respawn was working on a Star Wars project. We know Ubisoft was working on a Star Wars project. There's so many little things that, like, we could sit here all day long and drag red strings across maps and concepts and ideas that, I mean, there's a lot of things to think about. The odd thing is, all of this just came out days after his interview at the New Game Plus showcase.
Yeah, where, it was like a week, like right? A week ago.
Yeah, it was a week before where, like, you know, he stated Division 3 was shaping up to have a bigger impact than Division 1. And like you said, we spoke about that just last week, and it was like a day. It was literally the day after. Like, that was Monday. Sunday, we did the show here last week. And then mm-hmm. the day after is when Julian Garrity is leaving Massive for Battlefield Studios. You know, it's just... And it's wild. What's crazy is there's statements like that are made when the studio itself was almost closed, right? It was almost shut down last year. And if it wasn't for those five hard-nosed developers at Massive, you know, salute to those agents, you know, to use a pun from the game, mm-hmm. you know, the game wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't have been talking about it last week. There would no be impact conversation or discussion. And it's thanks to those that we have a definitive edition coming out that now introduces Division 1 to a whole new slate of players that may have never experienced it. They may have heard about it, but they've never mm-hmm. played it. We have Survival finally coming back after, you know, we originally saw it in Division 1. We never saw it in Division 2. And now we've got Division 3, hopefully. We don't know what happens now, right? Because, you know, those 55, you know, employees out of... you know, Stockholm and Massive were said to be Division employees. So there's a lot of static going on now around that title. I don't know if that comment like that was made just to drum up funding or hype for a title that was thought to be dead.
That's a great point. And another thing too, like, yo, the last time I saw Jillian, and I mentioned last week, the last time I saw him, he was promoting Star Wars, the Star Wars game from Ubisoft. Yeah, that was the last time, you know. So
and that's why I think, you know, Respawn was working on the Star Wars game. You had Ubisoft working on a Star Wars game. And for him to come over, like I said, I think that conversation has been going on for a long, long time. Maybe that was one of the keys to him coming over was, hey, look, we know you're working on this and that's been shuttered. Maybe when you bring that idea over to EA, we could build this out on the Respawn's you know, resources and staff and build out a massive, no pun intended, you know, Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. Using things like, you know, because look, Respawn has the experience of a game with a much larger universe. I'm looking at Titanfall. Right. And so with an Apex Legend mentality, why not? I mean, bringing him in, not to say that he would have come in to fix RedSec, which is, you know, as great as Battlefield 6 had as an opening for the first 2 months, it's had an 80% plus decline in player count over the last, 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody thought that RedSec was going to be its saving grace. Who knows? So maybe, I don't know. I don't know if Julian is coming over to fix Battlefield or RedSec. But I think, if anything, I think it was to use his knowledge of what was going on at Massive and feed that into the EA Battlefield Studios engine for a much larger Star Wars experience.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really been playing Battlefield since around launch. It's been a while for me. Mm-hmm. Have you been playing it? Because I don't know.
I haven't played it in 2 weeks. It's funny because the main Discord I'm in for gaming, mm-hmm. we had a massive jump in participation and growth in players jumping mm-hmm. in to play Battlefield. But yeah. A bunch of people have like, yeah, we're done with Battlefield. It's just it's
hard, man. It's hard to keep up, people entertained with like, when they've finished with everything with like with contents and all that stuff. Like people are always going to move on, you know. So, but and that's everywhere, man. I know people always some will go and check out like the numbers on Steam, but they don't know how things are going when it comes to the consoles and stuff, you know. But
80% player drop. That's a lot of people.
PC.
Still. 80% is still big. That's a big number.
That's a big number. Yeah, it's a big number. Yeah. But yeah. But we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen like in the future with the game. But I think they're going to add a new season soon, right? I think. Or it got delayed. One of the two. But we'll see. Let me ask you this question, Pete. It's I haven't really been active online as much. I've been like, doing my thing behind the scenes, just chilling, post here and there, And I've been seeing a lot of tweets, especially after the Game Awards, about High Ground. Have you seen anything on High Ground? Like, you seen the trailer?
I saw the trailer. The game is from a new studio called Wildlight Entertainment. It's led by former Apex and Titanfall devs.
Yes.
If you go through their About Us, you can meet their team, and you've got developers from a wide range of titles and genres. We're talking Apex, Titanfall, COD, Destiny, Valorant. I'm literally reading a list of because I have it in front of me here. Valorant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Division, Rainbow Six Siege, Overwatch, Dead Space, Borderlands, Concord, etc. Like the list goes very, very long, and it's not just that. You get people from League of Legends.
That's a pretty good list.
It's a huge list. I'm going to try to stop using Massive because it keeps tying back into the previous. But based on the trailer they showed, right, it's giving big Overwatch meets Valorant meets Marvel Rivals energy. And I don't know if that's something we really need, especially because it seems as if nobody learned the lesson of Concord, right? It's essentially the same game with a different skin, just based off appearances alone, right?
Sure.
According to Paul Tassi from Forbes, that's where the news of the spot that was at the Game Awards was not charged to the studio. And that's a spot that allegedly costs like $500,000.
Can I say something about that?
Go ahead.
How in the world that's news? How? Explain to me. Are people trying to like really dig for news? How in the world that's news? And look, I was debating, should I even talk about this or not? In every industry that happens, in music, in movies, there's opportunities where the Oscars, for example, a movie's coming out, that will be like the perfect time to put, to promote the trailer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do some business. Sometimes there are companies that pay, right, for a spot. And sometimes like, hey, if this is an exclusive and we're the ones, our show is the one that is going to promote this for the first time, like premiere this for the first time, we'll give you that spot for free. How in the world is that news? The past couple of years, I've been seeing media talking about paying for a spot, and they talk about how much it is, the Game Awards, the price is increasing, or whatever it is. People complain about that, but then when it's a game that's getting a spot, a free spot, let's just say, that's also an issue. So I don't know what is the point of all this. Like I get it. People are gonna have mixed reactions about High Ground. I personally haven't said anything because I just want to wait and see. I've been hearing there might be some events over the game. And they're inviting media and creators to play the game, which is a good thing. You know, if the game is really bad, let's just say, do you think companies are gonna invite creators and media to play the game? You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like some people just want games to fail, and it's just ridiculous, yo. Like, we've been talking the past couple of years of studios having layoffs. If this game, let's just say, is not successful, there's going to be more layoffs too. So what is the point of all this, yo? What is the point of like talking all about this, man? Some people are just promoting this, and it's going to change a lot of people's minds. Like, well, the game looks bad, I'm not going to play it. But nobody has seen the game yet. You only seen the trailer. That's it. We don't know what the marketing team are planning to do with the game. Maybe there's a reason why they're quiet. But it's like, yo, all I'm saying is just give this game a chance and see what happens. And see what happens. But this whole thing like, oh, they didn't pay for a spot. Yo, that happens with every industry, man. It's not just the Game Awards. It's not just games. That happened with every industry. What is the, and I was going to say it, I was going to curse at that, but what is the issue? What is your goal out of all this? You know, yes, you heard it from somebody else. I get it. A nice little scoop. I get that, but that's not the first time. It's not the first time. I've seen that with many industries, music, movies. It's nothing new, man. It's nothing new. Look, there's companies that probably paid or just have it for free for all these streams that we, the Spawnies, the New Game Plus, you know, with everything we got to see, that happens, man. If you get an exclusive, there might be an opportunity where people are like, hey, can you get it as a free spot? That would be big for you, man. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. It is annoying. It is annoying seeing like people just digging for something, you know, that has. There's not a big deal. You get what I'm saying? And then people make it as a big deal because now like everybody's mad. Oh, why didn't they mention this and this? And I'm like, oh my god, it's just ridiculous, yo. It is ridiculous.
I don't know. I think about stuff like this. I, as usual, I try to think about it in a business perspective and enterprise vision. Was this a favor to the studio? Because he could have picked probably any other title from a massive studio and collected the check. I think I'm not sitting here pocket watch or anything. I'm sure Jeff is not struggling to come up with gas.
He's not,
at the local station or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Was this a potential backdoor deal for exclusivity, as you said? You know, using the exclusivity word, was this something maybe he was maybe, you know, he put this into his wallet, say, okay, look, I gave this to you guys, you know, last year it comes out, I think it comes out next month. I want exclusivity on whatever, yada, yada, yada. Was he just a massive fan of what he saw in early views and just wanted to do them a favor, a solid? Who knows? But was the juice worth the squeeze, as the story goes? And did this do more harm than good in a genre that we've seen that is super saturated and has not done well in the last 12 months? Overwatch 2 launched to not a lot of massive fanfare. A lot of people wanted to go back to Overwatch 1. Nobody ever thought that we needed to go have an Overwatch 2. We saw what happened with a game like Concord. We saw what happened with other games like that. Unless you're the first to market on something like that, I'm thinking something like a Valorant. Every other one after that becomes so much more difficult to succeed with. So I don't know.
There's a difference between being like kind of like, oh yeah, the trailer was whatever. Like I get that part. That happens. Like we've been going to E3 for years, we've been going to events for years, right? And there's sometimes we're like, yo, the trailer's amazing, right? And then the game comes out, we're like, yeah, I don't know about this, you know? So like that happens. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. But people are gonna have different reactions on the trailer. Like, look, there's trailers at the Game Awards that I was just like, okay, I bet they pay a spot for that, you know? That happens all the time. But to sit here and just come up with like the most random news, they didn't pay a spot, really? That's come on, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. And yes, I get it. The team has been quiet about this game and it's very close to launch. We don't know why. We don't know if it's part of the marketing, you know. Okay, here's the thing. And we've been having this conversation multiple times now, the past couple of years. Marketing has changed throughout the years. Where some studio, some publisher will wait until closer to launch to start talking about the game and so on. Music, let's say, yo, this artist that released the album, and then they do their interviews right after that. For example, you know, Nas and Premier, they didn't do no interviews until like right after the album was out. And yeah, they only did one interview. No, but I'm just saying.
You can't use Nas and Premier that as a comparison to an unknown title and unknown studio.
Pete, I'm just talking about artists, like music artists. I'm talking about randomly, they release the album and they do the interviews later. Look, if the rumors are true that there is an event soon, this week, next week, or whatever, you know, maybe they're gonna have some interviews there, or who knows? We're gonna get to see and hear from creators and media that are gonna get to play the game for the first time. Or we could just wait until the game comes out, and then we'll make a decision if the game is going to be okay or not. And look, and I get what you're saying, that it might not be successful because it's similar to Concord or whatever. I get it. But to sit here and just to drag the game for weeks just because they've been quiet and they only show one trailer at the Game Awards. Like, come on, man. Really? I don't know. I'm just being salty about all this, man.
Salty that you just tried to compare two legends in the game.
First of all,
unknown title.
No. I'm not talking about that, Pete. I'm talking about the way how marketing is nowadays. Like, the attention span from people is totally different than how it used to be back in the days. Like, there's so much content. There's so people's on TikTok, YouTube, and all this. People aren't even watching live TV like I used to back then. You know? They're either playing a game or watching TikTok. Look, like I think it was Matt Booty or somebody was saying from Xbox that their biggest competition is TikTok. I agree. A lot of people are invested on doing other things than actually playing a game or watching TV. Like, it's different nowadays. So what I'm trying to say, back in the days, when an album was coming out, yo, they'll promote this for like a whole month, doing interviews and this and that. They're everywhere, right? Nowadays, you barely see artists doing interviews, or they just wait until after the album is out or whatever. You know, like, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not comparing Legends to a new game. I'm not trying to say that. I'm talking about the way how studios are actually promoting the album nowadays, like how it used to be back then, differently. You know what I'm saying? That's all we're saying.
I get it. Look, at this point, this microwave society these days, where everybody is competing for 140 seconds of your life, right, or 280 mm-hmm. characters of your brain cycles on a mobile screen. Yes, but is it really about dragging a title before they even see it, or is it our industry's oversaturation and dependence on rehashing things we've seen 100 times before that have failed 85 to 90% of the time?
Well, okay, I'll tell you this: this same people that post, "Oh, there was layoffs at this studio, there's layoffs at this studio," as news, is the same people dragging this game, and if this game becomes a failure, they are those same ones that are going to write, "Oh, the studio had layoffs." Mm-hmm. Look, Rihanna, shout to her because she's watching it. She wrote on Twitch, "And if this game fails, a number of them will be out, of all the developers that you mentioned from the list. That's why I get frustrated when people root against a game. We're trying to help our industry, yo. We're trying to, like, support as much as we can. Look, the economy is very different right now. Very, very different. It's all over the place, right? Everything is expensive now. We're being very selective on what games we're going to buy and so on. But, like, come on, man. Really? We haven't even... Nobody has seen the game. No one. Zero. Zero. Maybe just Jeff, I guess. I don't know, because he probably got to see it. And hey, we're gonna have this game on Game Awards. I get it, but who else? Who else from all these creators and media that haven't even seen anything and posting all this news. Who else have they seen the game? No. You know, like, all I'm saying, give it a chance. If the game is not good, okay, I get it. But like now, people just coming up with random news. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, wait. Let's see what this person wrote here. This is on YouTube, but the point of the article was that it was a big spot for a new IP, and then Radio Silence. That's the story, not Dragon Game. Okay,
they're right.
But here's the thing: do they have to mention that they pay a spot or not?
I think you're missing the point, though. I think you're missing the point from what this person just stated. Mm-hmm. The point of the article was not to drag it in any way, shape, or form. The point of the article was to say any other studio would have paid upwards of $300,000 to $400,000 to $500,000 for that spot. Mm-hmm. This game, which came out of nowhere on a studio that nobody knows or recognizes, got that for free. How or why? That's it. Nobody mentioned anything about dragging the title. So thank you for bringing that up because that.
No, that's true. I get it. Shout out to Bill. Shout out to you, man. And I get it. But here's the thing: Do you think the studio's like, hey, Jeff, put us in the end of the show. We want to be the last ones. Do you think it's them or is it the producers of the show that decide where the trailer is going to get played? That's the thing. Because people, hold on a second. Like what I'm trying to say is the studio didn't select where the trailer is going to be placed. That's Jeff and his team select.
And that's why I said what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Was this a favor to the studio? Was this a favor deal for exclusivity to say, look, we're putting you guys at the end because nobody else has highlighted your game? Mm-hmm. Or was Jeff just fangirling over it because he's liked what he's seen so far?
Don't say fangirl. Don't say that.
Why not?
No. I don't know. But anyways.
Why not?
Okay.
Jeff doesn't know. He couldn't pick me up out of a lineup. He just knows me because he knows you in Paris. So whatever. I can say what I want.
No. I get what you're saying. But here. Look. Rihanna wrote this. He wrote this. He wrote, it's possible they don't have a budget.
Oh, I know they don't have that. Jeff, I'm fairly certain. I'm fairly certain they don't have that $500,000 to drop on a spot like that.
And it says, and Jeff gave them a deal because he believes in it. I think he
liked the title. He liked the trailer. Maybe he's gotten behind the scenes access to the game.
Yeah, maybe he liked.
And again, like that's why I said maybe he just did that as a solid to the studio because he liked what he saw. Paris, we're leaving you out of this, all right? Because last time I checked, your team is not in the natty playing tomorrow.
Oh, damn.
So, but again, is it because he did it as a solid, or is he doing this because he wants exclusivity later on down the line? Nobody is going to know, but that's the only point. This has nothing to do with Dragon the Studio or Dragon the game.
No, it's okay. It's a couple of things. I think that because this is the talk right now for like the past couple of weeks that a game is Radio Silence and all that stuff. What else? Here's the thing, Pete. What else a creator or a media outlet could come up with that it is the talk right now online, and if someone finds out, hey, they didn't pay a spot, oh, this is perfect, people they're going to talk about it more, people are going to come to my site and read the news and read all this, like, was that even necessary to, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, what is the point of?
I see it differently. I don't think
I see it differently. I don't agree with it. I just feel like it's just dumb.
I don't think that was intended. I don't think that it's just I think it's coincidence that they didn't pay for that spot. Or hell, maybe he was just hard off of content at the end of that show and just needed something to plug in there. Because nobody else paid the $500,000 for that last one spot. He was like, all right, well, then I'm going to do a solid, and I'm going to throw these guys a bone and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. What happened if there's other games that didn't pay the spot at that same award show? Are you guys going to talk about it too? Or is it just because it's High Ground?
But
we don't know. I'm just guessing.
How are you going to know, though?
Because people are not going to talk about it. People are not going to say. I get it. I get that part. But I don't know, man. I feel like we, as an industry, should do better on a lot of things, man. Instead, I
1,000% agree with what Rihanna said, but I also think that the studios themselves have oversaturated our gaming experiences.
That's a different conversation.
Like, again, that's a totally different conversation altogether. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. We have way too many gaming titles that are put up on this pedestal as the next X killer or the next game of the year or whatever, simply because of a budgeting market or a marketing budget. And that's it, right? There's no expectation for success other than hoping that the marketing budget is mm-hmm. bigger than the next one.
But here's the thing, that's been happening for a long time, where a popular game or genre is a big thing now in gaming, then other studios are going to copy and do the same exact thing. Sometimes it's a successful game, sometimes it's not. That has been happening since the early days of gaming. It's nothing new. And here's the thing. I remember
it has nothing to do with gaming. But
it's in every industry. We're talking about games. So, like, for example, remember there was a time where Mario was a hit? Everybody wanted to be like the next platformer. Like, the Sonic was a big hit, but there was other ones that were like, ooh, that was not good at all. You know, then another time where, everybody wanted to have a shooter with multiplayer. Remember that?
Everybody wanted to do a BR. PUBG started it, and everybody created one.
So, like, that happens, you know. And I feel like right now, you know, studios are just – it's a hit or miss. They're trying to do – some are trying to do new things. It doesn't work out, too, man. That's the thing, too, man. Like, sometimes we get to see new stuff that we have never seen before, and the game doesn't sell because – people don't want to play those type of games, you know. So, like, is that the studio's fault? You know, sometimes they want to play safe. You know, it sucks. You know, but that happens. Just like Hollywood, exactly. Just like Hollywood, man. You gotta take risks. It's hard, man. This industry is very, very hard. You know? Look, every company is now doing, not every company, but a lot of companies are doing handhelds now, because that's the thing. PC handhelds, like, look how many PC handhelds are out there, man. Because a Switch was a successful device. You know, some are doing a pretty good job. Some is just good, but just expensive. You know, that happens. But let me see. Another one. Okay, I'm gonna put this one out from Bill. Shout out to Bill, but. It's not even about the money. It's the placement for Hype Train to leave the station. And then Crickets, that's the point. But here's the thing, man. We don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know the situation. You didn't even know if some marketing folks are going to say, hey, no, let's stay radio silent until our hands-on event. That happens too, man. We don't know. We have no idea. The thing is, we're dying for new information. That happens when it's something that's like you're very curious about a product or something, you want to know more about it, you reach out to PR. But what happened if the whole studio agree, like, hey, we're gonna stay quiet until a certain day? We have no idea. We don't know, and people shouldn't be angry about it. I get it, you want to know more information, but let's just wait and see. If there is an event, a hands-on event, why not wait until your favorite creator or media plays a game and they talk about it? Let's just wait. That's it. That's the point I'm trying to say. But I feel like people are getting angry for no reason just because they're radio silent. How's that a negative thing? I just don't get it. Like, how's that bad?
I'm going to ask the hard question now. Look, if you do know or you've been invited, that's one thing. And if you can't say, you can't say.
I didn't get invited. I'll tell you about it. Okay.
Is there an event? Because that game launches in 8 days, free to play on Steam.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is what?
That game launches in 8 days.
In 8 days, yeah.
Free to play.
Yeah. Right?
So if there is an event, yeah. I mean,
is it next week? So 8 days is
26th. The 26th. 8 days. Today's the 18th. 8 plus 8 is 26th. Mm-hmm. Or 18 plus 8 is 26. So yeah.
We have another one post here in the chat. Am I missing something? This game was announced in December and it's releasing a month later. How is that radio silence? Hey. Oh, they're going to talk about it during the holidays? Hey, here's more information about the game in the middle of Christmas. You know, it's like, come on. I don't know. Let's just wait.
It's just 30 days. I mean, that's a $50,000 check that they didn't have to write. Hopefully, that was a $50,000 check that they could use towards paying the devs to a bonus for a successful mm-hmm. game launch, that it came out the door on time, on budget, mm-hmm. you know, on schedule, you know. Hopefully that reduces payments for the studio, so the success mm-hmm. of the trailer and the hype can help that studio pay its bills for, like I said, salaries, etc., for the next 6 to 9 months, so that the studio can continue to build out DLC and content for the game, so that it doesn't die like every other game that we've seen over the last 10 years. A lot of ifs, right?
But a lot of ifs, yeah. But you know what?
The question is why? Why did they get the okay? Why did they get the gift, right? Why did they get the golden unicorn gift?
And you know what? It's not on my business. It's not your business. It's nobody else's business, yo.
We're just nosy bochinches, bro.
Yo, who gives a fly fuck if the shit was free or not, yo? Who cares, yo? And I'm cursing you because it's frustrating.
You have to bleep that out.
I'll bleep it out. I don't care. But like, yo, who cares, yo? Who cares? If they're radio silent, more power to them, yo. Because you know what? I feel like it's good to do something new, man. It's good. What happened if the game is successful? Let's just say the game is successful, Pete. A big, huge hit. Then what? Are people going to come up with something else to talk about? You know? Like, let's just wait and see, man. Let's just wait. That's the point. Let's just wait. And then, look, I get it. Yo, there's some creators and media, they gotta eat, they gotta pay the bills. I get it, yo. But I'm not falling for that shit, yo. I am not falling for that. I'm gonna wait and see. And if I find out that one of people that we know got to play the game, hey, yo, are you allowed to talk about it? Or I'll just wait until the release information about the game. I'll wait and see. And I'll make my decision based on that. Or I'll play myself when it comes out, which is free, right? I'll play it.
Or Jeff hit him with the mafia hit. Okay, I'm going to give this to you all for free, but y'all are going to have to give me 3 points on the launch.
another one said, my theory is that it was originally scheduled to be a shadow drop, but got delayed, was too late to change the reveal, so they rolled it with it. That's possible.
Then still, why charge them 500? Why not charge them 500K like every other game title?
But Pete, it's not.
I'm pocket watching now. I know.
What I'm trying to say. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares?
I'm pocket watching. My bad.
Who cares? Look, man. I think it was like a couple years ago. I saw Khalif from Spawn on me on screen at the Game Awards. They did an interview. They flew to Portland. I think it was like a Facebook thing. Yo, do you think they were like, hey, if you want to be on the show, Kyle, you have to pay $500,000 for your spot? Do you think Facebook? They probably had a deal with Facebook. Yo,
spotlight.
Who cares? Who cares, yo? Like, hey, if they pay it, hey, good for them, yo. If they have the money, go for them. That happens, you know. It's all good. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's getting harder and harder, man. It sucks that now developers, like, can even they say that they worked on the game because people are just talking about something? Like, come on, man. Who cares, yo? People are just wilding out, yo. All right. By the way, I know this week, actually, right? I think this week is the Developers Direct.
Yep.
Yes. This week. Yes. Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Thursday. I'm excited. Last week we talked about predicting, and this was the after show for those that didn't listen to it or watch it. Can I release that conversation after the show as a podcast? Because it was so good. It was so good, the conversation of like us predicting what Xbox games is coming out and when and so on. I said Fable was coming out in May. I said that. That was me. I thought Forza Horizon 6, which is based in Japan, I thought that was going to come out earlier during the year. But now that it looks like this got leaked, and this was, look, this was Xbox that messed up. When you open Forza Horizon 5, they had a pop up that said the official date of Forza Horizon 6.
Well, let's correct that. It
wasn't it like that.
It was a pop up that one person captured on a capture. Nobody else has been able to recreate, right? And it was a pop up that showed the early release or early access date of May 15th. Which is usually 3 to 4 days before the actual release. So May 19th sure. would have been the actual release date.
Yeah.
It was leaked by Xbox Infinite on Twitter. And yes, I'm going to say Twitter. I refuse to use the other name. but yeah, it's, look, like you said, the developer direct is coming this Thursday. That will confirm or deny whether that was true. But yeah, nobody else. And that person's been hit up by many people. I'm not going to.
Oh, it's all good. So you have to say,
but it's a lot of people have hit them up saying how and where, because I'm trying to replicate it. Nobody else has been able to replicate it and show it.
So it's not official. It looks like it's official. It's not official.
It's unofficial. But again, in today's day of AI and Photoshop, anything is possible.
And that's true.
That is with a grain of salt the size of this mouse.
That is very, very true. I mean, it's
the size of this Microsoft mouse.
Yeah. But let's just say, let's make believe that it is that date. Where will you put Fable now? Because I know Paris said was it September? Let me go look back. I think Paris said September. I'm trying to figure out. Because I know we were going back and forth on. We're going back and forth on Twitter/X. Okay, so he said. Yeah, so Forza Horizon 6, he says May now. Halo CE, August. Fable, September. Gears, October, which I think is a. Gears. I 100% agree with Gears October. That is perfect. Halloween theme, that type of thing, you know. Call of Duty November. I think that's a good one. I think that's a good thing. I'm just kind of iffy with Halo. Halo makes more sense September. Is it possible you might see Fable and Halo the same month, but like spread it out?
I think they spread it out monthly, like Paris said last week. This release in May ties in more so with the comment from, was it Nate on Twitter?
Yeah.
That has done previous leaks as well as has leaked things in the past that said it would come out in the first half. So that kind of ties in to that theory. Again, speculation. We're all talking.
I mean, it's all fun. This is all talk. It's all fun. It's not a confirmation or anything. You know, just
again, Thursday will be the ultimate confirmation, because that's when Xbox is having, you know, the developer direct, and they'll say yes or no. That will confirm or deny it.
Yeah. It's gonna be a very interesting Thursday. I'm definitely gonna watch it. I'm gonna try to see if I can stream it. We'll see. Are you going to be in town during that? No, you're going to be out, right?
Thursday? No. I'm in town. I land Tuesday afternoon and I leave Saturday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
So right. I'll be around. Don't call me though for some restream.
Nah, thing. You're like, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm seeing you guys for dinner. That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. It's all good. Yeah, man. Anything else, Pete? Oh, wait. Paris with an angry face. Shout out to Paris. Shout out to Paris.
I'm just looking forward to seeing you guys' faces this weekend.
It's gonna be fun, man. We haven't gotten to chill like this in so long.
6 years, man. Six years. We have not gotten together in 6 years.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting, man. But yeah, guys, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, put your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes of GTR. That'll be very, very helpful. Subscribe if you get the chance on any podcast platform out there, podcast app, we're everywhere. Subscribe and let us know your thoughts about the episodes and so on. We have more content coming up in the future. Make sure to tune in. And also, if you would like to give us a call, it's been a while we haven't done fan mail. I would love for you guys to send questions for us. Fan mail at gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. And I'll play the podcast here, your audio message. And you could go also to SpeakPipe. Go to SpeakPipe/GamerTagRadio. SpeakPipe.com/GamerTagRadio. You can also do it from your phone. You have different options. If you guys would like to be part of our future episode of Family, we haven't done it in a long time. But it's up to you guys. Up to you guys if you want us to answer your questions. Anything else, Pete? You're good, right?
That's it, man.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here and probably do a little bit of a after show. Until next time, we're out. Peace.